Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Jamie.
Temporary cause and charms. I'm the son of Nat Turner, the godson of Nikki Giovanni, nephew of Asada Shakur, second son of Afeni Shakur. So you know the pride of the Panthers in me. Marcus Garvey's red, black, and green is in me. Fools getting shot down, locked up for material living. This is all genocide. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children.
Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. It's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli, and I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. And this is one of the great privileges and joys of life to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others from this revolutionary radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. And let me just wipe the sweat off of my brow. If you are tuning in with us from the first half, you know, if you all who know we go two halves. We go from 8 p.m. Eastern into 10 o'clock. And then this is the second half from 10:30. And tonight we'll be on for about a little over probably 60 minutes here. We're not going to belabor, but we'll be on talking some strong points here. But if this is your first time with us, the first half here, welcome to Black Power Radio. And we have covered some topics tonight, and we're going to cover some more topics, as the biggest topic of the night is 21st century slaves. How can we recoup, and how can we recover? There's something I wanted to talk about that was very serious to me, very important. I don't know how many of you out there watch the show Boondocks. And for those of you who don't know what that is a animation. It's a cartoon. Started out as a comic series, a sketch, a comic sketch. And it went into animation, being picked up and being shown on a network called Cartoon Network, and shown during the hours of what's called Adult Swim. And I did very well. Been running for, I think, 4 seasons, I think. Don't quote me on that. But it's been on for quite some time. And as we talk about what's happening with the Los Angeles Clippers and what's happening with the devil, Donald Sterling, and what's happening across America, it is important to talk about what's happening with Aaron Magruder. And the Boondocks, or the series The Boondocks. And we have to look at this, because if we're going to talk about 21st century slaves, we have to do a self-analyzation. We talked about that somewhat in the first half. Now, this is troubling to me, brothers and sisters, that a man can create an entire series, create an entire franchise, make an entire brand that is well-received, not just, picked up on a regional level. This thing hit international status. And the brother based his commentary and his comics off of some real political situations. I mean, he has his main character there, which the main character is named Huey, based off of Black Panther Party Minister of Defense from the 60s, Huey P. Newton. He's got a little brother there named Riley that's supposed to represent the streets, you know, the young brother who, you know, wants to be down in the streets. He's got they're being raised by their grandfather, who the voice in that is the man many of you all saw in the movie Friday, but he goes all the way back to the days of Richard Pryor out of Detroit, Michigan, a brother by the name of John Witherspoon, who, if you haven't seen his comedy, the brother is hilarious. I don't just mean like the movie work, but I mean like his physical comedy, his stand-up comedic genius. You should take some time out of your day, a new Black Panther or not, to go find where John Witherspoon is performing, and go see Brother John Witherspoon. He's very good, very, very classic comedic genius, perfect timing. He's got it down. You know, that's where, if you all heard the rapper named Chief Keef, that's where he gets that bang, bang from. Yeah, that's John Witherspoon. Witherspoon did that bang, bang, bang. All right, so check him out. But he does the voice there for the granddad in the Boondock series, and it touches a whole bunch of issues. There was episodes where they talked about if Martin Luther King Jr. came back, how would he respond to today's generation? And Martin Luther King Jr. in that episode was pretty upset, you know. And they did an episode about how to eating right, and used How to Eat to Live from Elijah Muhammad's How to Eat to Live series, and talked about Ronald Reagan being the devil, and how Ronald Reagan, his names equaled up to 666, all three of his names, and all kind of just science that they would put in the cartoon series. And so what we found out now, what's been told now, is that Mr. Magruder is no longer a part of the series. Now, again, he's the creator. He made it. But he comes out a few weeks ago with an announcement that he would no longer take part in the series called Boondocks, but that he would be working on a series, a new series that's going to be called Black Jesus, which I like. I like that title, of course. Of course, it should be okay. But this raised some flags to me when Aaron Magruder said that he would no longer take part in the series called Boondocks. And, of course, he issued a statement and came out with the statement saying that, you know, he was focused on his creativity with Black Jesus and this, that, and the third. But what ultimately came out through another source, another close source, it's in the news. This is not hearsay. This is out there. That ultimately Aaron Magruder was fired from the Boondocks. Now, again, the creator, the maker, the man who put this idea together, fired from the Boondocks. Now, this is troubling to me for several reasons. Because, again, now, when you look at the landscape, you look at the landscape of what's owned by Black people, I'm talking about not just landscape or land or even institution. I'm talking about creative genius. When you look at creative geniuses and properties that have been taken from Black people past several years and really decades, there's a lot that we have once had that we no longer have. First thing that comes to my mind is BET. BET, at one point in our history, featured very positive programming. If you all can remember the teen summits and all of that, Ed Gordon and all of that stuff that it had that was very, very informational, you could go to BET and, of course, you could get the music and you could get the dance and all of that, but there was very informational programming that was on BET that you could depend on and that you could be fed by, and that if you couldn't get it anywhere else on cable television, that you could get it from BET. Well, in today's time, we don't have that. BET is a minstrel show, a straight coonery affair, where they really, I can't think, and you all can correct me and tell me if I'm missing or forgetting something, but I really can't think of a strong informational program that is featured on BET right now. So BET was bought out by Viacom, and, you know, Viacom, same company that owned MTV and all of that, which, you know, again, it's rich white folks. And so once BET was bought out through Viacom, you begin to see the change in the programming. And I know here recently, Brother T.J. Holmes, he had a show that was on there called Don't Sleep. Now, I like that. I don't know if you all remember that. I hope that you all got a chance to see that. If you didn't, go on the YouTube or go on to one of them type of video playback channels and check out Don't Sleep from T.J. Holmes. I mean, he had a lot of good guests on there. At the time, I was working on trying to get, and we were working on trying to get Attorney Malik Shabazz on the show when he was national chairman, you know. And, I mean, a lot of good commentary, a lot of good political insight, a lot of good information on what to do for concerning many of the problems that our people face, solutionary, solution-oriented, actionary programming, T.J. Holmes and Don't Sleep. Well, unfortunately, that show didn't last long at all. That show got straight up canceled. I mean, for a minute, they were going. I mean, I think it was a couple of hours they were going. I may be mistaken, but they had a nice little time slot there. Then it got reduced down from an hour, then it was like 30 minutes. And when they started doing that, I was telling the queen and the family, I said, I know it's over. I know it's over now. When they start reducing your time on down, they chopped him down. And next thing you know, T.J. Holmes is issuing out a statement on Twitter and the media that he is off of there. He's out of there. The relationship with BET is over. Now, this thing with Aaron Magruder troubles me because there is, from all appearances, a overt effort to buy up everything black and to run the controller, have the control of it. Same thing with this Los Angeles Clippers thing. As mad as the people are, and as mad as people are with Donald Sterling, and people have certainly the right to be angry if they want to be angry, but the bottom line is, we don't own it. It's not something that we control. And so with all that he's calling black people and saying he don't want black people in the stadium and don't bring them to the games and whatever he's saying, he still owns the team. Now, Boondocks, I would say following behind Dave Chappelle and the Chappelle Show, had one of the most formidable platforms to educate our people in the mainstream than many other television programs that were out there. I mean, Dave Chappelle did good. I mean, he had the whole Dead Prez theme coming on, the red, black, and green set, and all kind of, you know, conscious entertainment on, and ultimately he say he couldn't continue the show because the forces that be behind Hollywood or Hollyweird, you know, wanted him to do things which would compromise him. They wanted him to, you know, get into the dressing in drag, and I guess trying to get him to lay on the couch, as they say, and take it up the rear and all this that they get into, that freakish and licentious stuff they get into. But so Dave Chappelle said he couldn't do it, and he walked away from the show. And ultimately ends up in Africa. Dave Chappelle went and hid, you know, to get away from Hollywood, went and got low, like they say happened in the story of Yahshua, or what you know of as Jesus. He went and got low in Africa and got away for a while. People didn't know where he was until he could get his head together. And he come back with his head messed up, you know, and had to explain what happened. Okay? Same thing now. This Aaron Magruder, who had a platform called Boondocks, which was educating people and putting it in a modern context that people could take and relate to and that's palatable for black people, now he has been bought out. He has been bought out, and the word is, not really said from him, but the word is that he has been fired from a series which he helped create, that was his blood, his sweat, his tears, his creativity. I mean, this happens all too often. We heard the same thing with rock and roll. You know, when you would hear Little Richard talk about how he was the founder of the whole thing, and, you know, they would try to give the credit to Elvis Presley and all of this, and Elvis the whole time is studying black people and taking the moves, you know, taking the moves and studying the grooves and stealing from us and taking the credit. I mean, every time we come out with something, you know, there's somebody behind the scenes, normally some white man, a woman behind the scenes that's looking to take the idea and capitalize off of the idea to the point to where we don't capitalize off of our own stuff. Now, in the 21st century, it is a shame that a black man can't put a positive programming out on the network and it be received well, and he not put his job on the line or put his welfare on the line because he wants to put something positive out there. I know our brother, Dr. Farrah Great, was saying the same to me. He was saying he had an issue with, you know, World Star. You know, Brother Q is his name, who runs that World Star. For those of you who don't know it, I know many of you know what World Star is. World Star is a website that features many videos from up-and-coming artists and established acts, and its main crux, the main crux of World Star is to feature some kind of violent act or some kind of fight between black people. You normally see two sisters going at it, you know, just for no reason. Somebody had, you know, been there at the time, might have been a family, a friend, or whoever, just a passerby. They filmed the thing, you know, with their camera phones. You know, we got these phones. They filmed the thing with their camera phone, and next thing you know, it's a fight that breaks out in a Waffle House or in front of somebody's house or wherever it's at, and they upload this video to World Star. And so it goes before the world as black people fighting or us being shown in our worst state. And then you got the music videos. And that's pretty much the crux of World Star. And so the issue was that there was nothing too positive that was being shown with all of those viewers and that many people that rushed, you know, to the site for traffic. There was nothing offered as an alternative for the good. Now, you know, people are going to ingest what they want. If you want to see the fight and all of that, that's fine. I mean, you know, that's your choice. But where is the alternative? Where's the alternative for people who want to read or to see the video on the young black inventors who, you know, are doing things, you know what I mean? Or the people who have, you know, some sense and are showing our people in a good light. Where is the alternative in America for the good videos? And not just the athletes or the ball players. Where are the intellectuals? Where are the scientists? Where are the thinkers? Where are the artists? Where are those videos being shown? It is very sparse, but there is a high appetite for the negative. The appetite is high for the negative. The appetite is high for the filthy. And so Dr. Gray took variance with that, and we do too. If you don't know, he's the son of Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Well, we take variance with that. You know, we're angry with that, you know, presentation, because now what happens is other cultures see us, and so they think that is how we act. You know, the way that we're displayed on television, you know, through movies, whether it's the old school movies like Boys in the Hood or Menace to Society or any of that stuff is broadcast around the world, and cultures, especially in Africa, and people who may not have had a one-on-one experience with us and been able to deal with us, they think that's how you really are. Also, they really believe, those that have not had the chance to come here on their own and see for themselves, they really believe that this is the land of apple pie. They really believe this is the land of opportunity, milk and honey, and the American dream. Why? Because that's what's shown around the world. And so with this situation with Boondocks and Aaron Magruder now being fired, allegedly fired, Because, again, I have to say allegedly because he didn't say it, but it was reported that he was fired from Boondocks. What part of our intellectual property can we have? What do we have as a people call our own? And why doesn't this trouble more people? Not just the cartoon itself or the comic sketch itself. I'm talking about us owning some things. Like, I know sometimes we call for boycotts, and we say we should boycott all the businesses that don't support the black community. And then sometimes in some of your cities, you find trouble trying to find enough black businesses to support, because, you know, the black businesses in many of our areas are closing up shop, the black grocery stores and the black movie theaters and the this and the that. They're closing up because we have taken on the attitude in many cases, some cases, that the white man's ice is colder and that the lettuce is greener and this, that, and the third. And sometimes it is. Let me be honest. Sometimes it is because they're making the money. Sometimes the black businesses are struggling, and they don't have the proper product and produce, which is bad. And we're going to have to look at that in a real way and look at ways that we can develop businesses, as we develop with Brother Michael V. Roberts, the billionaire CEO, and others who are economic giants. We're going to have to look at ways that we can establish a black economy with a little of nothing to start out with, but still have righteous product and still have it in a way that our people can accept it and use it. Doesn't mean that just because we don't have all the economics of a Walmart or a Costco's or whatever, that you cannot have a thriving good business, a grocery store, what have you, for black people. Does it mean that? It does not mean that because we're black that we have to accept having second-rate, third-rate, fourth-rate food, fourth-grade food. Doesn't mean that. We got to get out of that attitude. It was a man by the name of Michael B. Jordan. He's the one who revealed that Aaron Magruder was fired from the Boondocks. And, again, that's unfortunate. He says that basically Magruder had pretty much said it to him beforehand, and he pretty much had forgot about it. But he didn't want to put that out there. I guess you know how us PR people, the PR people get involved, and, you know, you smooth that thing over. But the Boondocks, as it stands right now, I want to get the actual facts on that. I believe it's owned by, I think it's Sony right now. Let me try to get that out there. But one of those companies out there owns that, and it's not black. And so if you happen to see, I believe it's Sony Pictures. I'm right on that. Sony Pictures. If you have happened to see the first episode of this new season of Boondocks, you can already tell it does not have the same oomph of the black power-minded, the militant-minded businessman and creation of Aaron Magruder. They don't have it. It's missing it. If you look at BET, BET doesn't have the oomph it used to have when it was run by blacks and in black hands, black control, you know, in a real way. You know, the stuff that we used to have when it was black, you know, it don't have it now because it's being watered down. Minister Malcolm X used to give a parable where he would talk about having black coffee, and he would say that the coffee is strong, you know, and the coffee that's black will wake you up. As long as you don't go to watering it down, he said, the more milk you add to it or cream you add to it, the weaker that coffee gets. And so what's happened is over the course of some time, we have been so integrated that now our coffee, our, I'm going to say, revolutionary drink is weak in America. Some of you, just hearing me say devil, hearing me say that Donald Sterling is the devil, that makes you cringe. Some of you have to pull your phones away, your radios away from you, because that makes you cringe. But who other than a devil doesn't want you to come sit in their seats when you're paying money? Okay? So, you know, the drink, the revolutionary fountain, has been made weak in America. And what's happened is we have become 21st century slaves who require freedom. We require freedom. We require freedom even more than the slaves who were running with Sister Harriet Tubman. We do. I mean, I'm looking at a case out of North Carolina. A sister by the name, I think her name is Tatiana Lisa Nicole. Tatiana, y'all look this stuff up. Tatiana Lisa Nicole Johnson, who she's allegedly accused of trying to kill her grandmother by dumping insecticide and termite killer into a pot of collard greens on Easter Sunday. Again, Sister Tatiana Lisa Nicole Johnson. Now, this is alleged because it's still being tried. She allegedly tried to kill her grandmother by putting insecticide, termite killer, into a pot of collard greens. And I think it had something to do, they were saying, allegedly, with her cell phone being taken away. That, you know, she, I guess, had got into some kind of disciplinary action or something like that, and trying to poison her grandmother just because her cell phone was taken away. Now, what this speaks to is not only a sickness in the mind, but it speaks to coping skills, behavioral conditions, and coping skills that some of our teenagers and children lack. Some of our children lack the ability to cope with disciplinary actions. I watched some of the brothers, some of the men, who young men who come to the New Black Panther Party, who may have never had a male figure in your life. You know, you didn't have it, and so when men begin to talk to you harsh, you know, in a manly tone, in a stern tone, you know, lovingly but sternly, some of you can't take it because you didn't have the male figure. You didn't have it there. And then, you know, even some, when the sisters talk to you in a stern tone, you can't take it because you're not used to dealing, you know, with that type of love but criticism. And I watch us. And it's important to look at it. It's important to look at the coping mechanisms of our people. See, what makes a young girl, a young black girl, what makes her think that the best thing to do in this situation, and she's 17 years old, what makes her think in her mind, that has been taken from her, of course, that it's okay to put insecticide in her grandmother's collard greens on Easter Sunday? There's a breakdown in our families. Our families are broken down. And in this 21st century slavery, as I prepare to go to your calls, in this 21st century slavery, the one thing that, if we could say there was something that the slaves of yesterday had on us in this new slavery or neo-slavery, it is that the family was together. Yesterday's family, yesterday's black family was together. It was solid. It was a unit. You had a man, you had women or a woman, you had children. You had the unit there that was solid together, and everybody knew what they were supposed to do and how they were going to contribute to make that thing work. Today in 2014, most of our houses are divided. They're either divided or they're blended. Many of the houses are divided or they're blended, and so that brings in a certain set of circumstances. That's not to say that in the Caucasian community, they don't have blended families, because they do too, and other cultures, they have blended families too. But I'm talking about us in specific. We have a certain special set of circumstances that when we look at the way that our children are reacting or our young people are reacting in this environment, it is ultimately, unfortunately, too negative to determine or to be called anything other than a sickness. It's a sickness that would make a young girl 17 years old, life ahead of her, plenty of life, God willing, ahead of her, that would make her want to poison her grandmother simply because she couldn't have a cell phone. And as I said to you earlier, there was a time before where this was unheard of. Before the integration, before we were integrated and accepted the culture of Caucasian people and we started striving to try to be like them in what we thought was civilized society, there was a time we did not do things like this. The closer we were to our original selves, we didn't do things like this. It just was unheard of. Now this type of stuff is happening all the time, more and more. And so we got to talk about solutions and how we can win our children back and win our young people back and win ourselves back. See, you know, again, looking at Donald Sterling, looking at Cleveland Bundy, looking at the other white racists that are out there, we understand that historically that those like them in power, that they produce the effects of what we see today. But the flip side of it is that we have to take charge. In the new Black Panther Party, our first general order says that we ought to take charge of our post and all black nation property in view. So we have to take charge. We understand the circumstances. We understand the circumstances. But I refuse just because we understand that the white man and white woman and in power and the white power structure and white supremacy, which has robbed us of self-knowledge because we know that that's at the root, I refuse to allow us to use that as a crutch not to get up and do something for ourselves and to help ourselves. As I told you, Felicia Smith, 42 years old, from Stovall Middle School, she freak dancing on a young man in her class and told the young man in her class that she loved him, that she loved him. She's 42 years old, freak dancing on a teenager, full contact, lap dance, rotating her hips and behind and hands all over his body. Young man. I think it said 17. And this is, again, speaks to a sickness that has evolved and developed because we have grown up in this society. The society was sick. This society we didn't make. We did not create this society. We did not create the society that made our people slaves and made us slaves. And so what we've done is we've taken on the customs. You know that old saying they used to say that when in Rome that you do like the Romans, and that is a mantra or an attitude that black people have taken on to themselves, that since we don't have culture, we have taken other people's culture, predominantly the white man's culture and white woman's culture, the whole thing about wearing the blue contacts and many of the sisters, not all the sisters, but some of the sisters with the blonde hair and all of this, much of that is because you're trying to imitate white people. It's not because you love yourself. It's because you are trying to imitate white people because they have placed themselves as the dominant culture in their society. And so they have elevated themselves as the highest standard of beauty over black people, black men, black women. So what you see in fashion, you see the fashion that makes you dress like a skinny white boy, a homosexual white boy, a flat-chested white woman, you know, straight up but straight down white woman. And sister, you know that that's not for you. And brother, that's not for you either. The standard of beauty has been flipped to where we feel bad about ourselves and we don't feel good about ourselves, and we ultimately hate ourselves. I saw a picture earlier where a young sister was trying to use a curling iron to straighten out her lips. That is no lie. I'll try to find that picture again and put it up on my page on Facebook. A sister so mentally damaged that she tried to use a curling iron or a hair flattener to straighten out her lips and burn the hell out of her lips. This is how deep the sickness is. The sickness of not being among your own and amongst yourselves and doing for self. The sickness of not having self-determination and control of your own destiny or charge for your own destiny. This is what happens. If you want the teacher to continue to freak on the babies and have to worry about the babies being shot up in their schools, keep on going like you're going. Keep on doing like you're doing. Keep on trying to integrate yourself into a society that is not made for you to integrate into. See, light and darkness can't integrate one with the other. Evilness and righteousness can't integrate with one another. Two things cannot occupy the same space and time. One got to be right, one got to be wrong. And same thing with our nature. We are a black people, an African people here in America. That's who we are. And so we don't have any business trying to integrate ourselves into a society that is set up to destroy us or set up against us. Set up to incarcerate us, set up to take the black man away from you, black woman, and leave you out there by yourself, struggling on your own, or set up there to make the black man believe that you are no good and you ain't nothing but a female dog and make him hate you and hate your very existence and that you hate his very existence. That's what the society does to you. See, that's why the Panthers keep talking about complete constructive change. We're talking about radical change, radicalizing change in America, radicalizing the society of America and elsewhere concerning our people. We don't have time to be concerned about everybody else. We don't have that kind of time. If they want to help and do some constructive measures to help, then help. Help by cleaning up your own community and staying the hell the way out of our way. That's how you help us. But you don't help us by trying to get involved and get in our way and trying to lead us in something that is for us to lead. We got to do this ourselves. It is our sickness. It is our people. It's our community. We have to do this for ourselves. North Carolina, Tatiana, Lisa Nicole Johnson trying to kill her grandmother. That's happening in our community. You know, let me be clear as I go to the phone lines. You have some in our community that are not from us. I'm going to say like the Charles Barkleys and those apologists or those who we used to call Negro apologists for the white man. They ain't got nothing to do with us. You know, everybody black don't make them family. You know what I mean? That's just because, you know, they got black skin through DNA and melanin. That don't mean that you're necessarily with us. That's just your black skin. It also has to involve an attitude and a mindset and a common cause. An attitude, mindset, and common cause. Because, hell, just like you had a warrior like Fred Hampton, rest in power, and Mark Clark, rest in power, you also had a William O'Neill, who was black and dead, waiting to sell them out. You had those. You have those who are among us who are sellouts, who do not want to see us rise, and that are paid, or sometimes they'll do it for damn free. They're so sick, they'll do it for free to sell us out and stop the rise of our people because they believe that this society will last forever. Some people really believe that this society, as wicked as it is, you believe that this will last forever. You know, Lenore Draper, Chicago activist, she was shot down. I don't know if you all heard this story. She was leaving an anti-violence fundraiser, an anti-violence teen fundraiser, Project Orange Tree, the group formed by King College prep students after the shooting death of Sister Hadiyah Pendleton. Many of you all heard about Hadiyah Pendleton, the young sister who had done some things with the Obamas, you know, a bright sister who had done some positive things and was featured there at an event with Obama. And she goes back to Chicago, Illinois, and is shot down. Now, here's a woman, 32 years old, Lenore Draper, and she was shot in the arm and the chest inside of a neighborhood called West Pullum neighborhood on Friday, and she died. She died after making it to the hospital and leaving the fundraiser for youth anti-violence called Project Orange Tree. And she was about one of three people who was killed in Chicago. That's last Friday. And more than two dozen others wounded in the city, across the city. And what I'm telling you about Chicago is this. Chicago is an ethnic cleansing. It's an ethnic cleansing that is happening in Chicago. And it's not just some gangsters, a couple of gangsters on a block. It's deeper than that. You got to look beyond the headlines and beyond that. It's deeper than that. Look at what goes on in international waters. It's deeper than that, okay? And I don't have time to go all the way into it, but it's, believe me when I tell you, it's much more deeper than that, and it's much more sadistic and twisted than just some tribal wars amongst some street tribes. And Chicago is going to be a work, and there's a work that has to be done in Chicago. And we're talking about a revolution, change. There's going to have to be some real battle that is fought amongst the genocidal maniacs who are there amongst our people and externally. See, they're being driven. They're being driven by external forces and pushed one against the other for different reasons. And ultimately, what that does is make the ill-informed call out for the same oppressor who will destroy everybody. They'll start calling for the National Guard and the Marines and this, that, and the third. And what happens when you invite the Marines, the National Guard, is they lock down everybody and begin to fight everybody. So we have to move on Chicago in a wise way. For those of you listening from Chicago, you must begin to organize in a wise way. New Black Panther Party in Chicago must begin to organize wisely and swiftly to gain the minds and hearts of our people there to begin to make a black united front against any aggression against our community and our people there. There has to be safe zones that are set up there to protect our babies and our children. Our babies and children are off limits. There has to be things that even in warfare, even if there's a civil war that is happening amongst our people, there has to be zones that are safe for our people and that are safe for our elders, safe for our children. Everything can be shot up, or the penalty in self-defense has to be death for the shooter. And it cannot come from the state, because the state is the ones that have sent some of these ones in to kill our people. You'll find out as it comes out. But in self-defense and defense of life, men, women, and children, the penalty has to be death and self-defense for our people in Chicago and other areas when they are trying to kill you and attack you. And so we have to organize in a wise way, and in a way that makes sense in areas like Chicago and areas like Newark, New Jersey, and areas where there's ethnic cleansing and genocide that's happening, where external forces with the desire to gentrify or move into the black areas are puffing these organizations and people up one against the other, trying to get them to slaughter and kill and fight one another and stand off in the back and in the side, unseen, and move around and take the land. It's happened in history before. This is not new. This has happened in history before. But what's going to be new is our response to it. We don't have to fall for the same old, same old. Sister Lenora Draper, Chicago activist, shot down. And we salute you, my sister. And, you know, we want to say that her blood will not be in vain. None of our blood will be in vain. None of our blood will be in vain, whether it's lived or whether it's taken. It is all for the cause and all for the Creator. But we cannot repeat the mistakes of the past. And these are the type of things that we have to organize on. And it's easy, of course, to get involved with the white-on-black situations. That is historical. That is something that has happened that will have to be defeated universally by our people. But we also have to get very serious in this century, 21st century, in talking about us doing things one to the other and hurting each other and, you know, vilifying each other, maiming each other. We got to get serious about that. Some of you will be all up in arms tonight about Donald Sterling, but you will not be up in arms about our sister Lenora Draper. You won't be up in arms. There won't be too many marches, won't be too many protests, won't even be a silent protest for Lenora Draper, because subconsciously in our minds, many of us think black people deserve to die. I told you that we're the first people to die in the movies. Normally, if it's a movie featuring a black man or a black woman, that black man has to go first, and they'll save the black woman most of the time for later in the movie. Subconsciously in our minds, we have become desensitized to the death of black men and black women. And so there has to be more than just a whimper in the wind. It has to be a strong stand taken, as our program speaks on, about black-on-black violence and criminality amongst our people. Let me go to your phone calls as our time is running here. We'll go to area code 702-406. 702-406. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. The topic, 21st century slaves. How can we survive? How can we return? How can we recoup? Black power.
Black power.
Area code 702-406. You got a question or comment?
You got a question or comment.
Okay, we'll keep going here. Area code 678-670. 678-670. You're on live. This is Black Power. You're talking to Sean Saddam Kwaliga. Right ahead.
Black Power, brother. Can you hear me?
Black Power. Black Power. I can hear you.
Yes, sir. I want to give you the greeting. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Wa alaikum salam, sir. Who am I talking
first,
to?
First, this is Brother Keith X.
All right, sir. Yes, sir. Black Power.
Now,
welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, brother. First of all, I want to get this NBA thing cleared up. A white man told the truth. He don't like niggas. And it was I was in a barbershop discussing this. A brother, he said, white man said, you know, the white man said we were more free and enslaved when we was enslaved than we are now. And I asked the brother, was he lying? Shit, you more enslaved than you ever was. So the only solution is stay away from these people. Don't go to these games. If you do, you better be prepared to defend yourself. Separation is the only solution. Move among yourselves. Support your own. We need a racial cleansing. Negroes in Uncle Tom got to go. Sellouts. We're too easy to be bought out. Every Negro got a price. You know, and my question to you, brother, what is the new Black Panther Party doing to counter-react that, or do you have any plans of all for us? Let's say defense programs like, in conjunction with other organizations for, like, defense mechanisms so we can police our own communities? Because most people don't know you can disband city government and the police department. And if the only the white man gave us the power, we – you know, demanded that, you know, we don't want you in our communities no more. We're going to defend our own communities. What is the party doing?
Are you talking about in terms of racist cops? Are you talking about in terms of
Donald
that's, Sterling?
That's too,
I'm saying, in general, what is specific?
I'm for us like in policing our communities, so certain things like this won't happen, and we can kind of react that. We won't be so much reactors. We'll be proactive and, you know, not necessarily letting this happen all the time. We'll be better prepared and, you know, different programs set in place, you know, for the people to come to, like you say, safe zones and perimeters where you can
come to
for help. You don't necessarily go to the white man for everything. Go to the black brothers, whether they're in a party or FOY, anybody. Any black man that's a militant soldier that wants to see a black man free, go to him. So that's all I'm
saying. No, that's a good point. I would answer it like this, that our people have to be trained regardless to what your affiliation is. The Panther has always championed self-defense, and we have for years done community patrols in different cities, where available. But I would say that, you know, it's important to join the party or to get involved, if you're not in the party, to get involved with our Ministry of Defense to learn how to defend. Because once you get out there with those police, or you get out there with some belligerent people in the community, or some what we call illegitimate, capitalists or whatever, and street pharmaceuticals, all that type of deal, and dope boys, you get out there, and you get to trying to confront people, and you don't know what you're doing. People get hurt, and we don't want people to be hurt unnecessarily on either side, but especially, if somebody is, you know, trying to do what's right, we don't want anybody on our side to be hurt against somebody that's aggressing us. And so people have to be trained, and what has to happen more is that our people become equipped and trained with the knowledge on how to defend, what to do. If it has something to do with racist cops or police, we got to, again, go back to the Know Your Rights seminars and sessions and the things that brothers like Attorney Malik Shabazz put out with Black Lawyers for Justice. People have to be indoctrinated in this, Brother Keith, to really be serious with a Ministry of Defense. And that's what, again, made the Panthers yesterday very serious on that, even though they were put down by that Mulford Act. They study the law. Now, I noticed that, you know, a lot of the Moorish brothers and sisters studying that law, and, you know, paralegals, they're studying that law, Panthers are studying that law. So we got to know the law and know how to handcuff your enemy with it and just how to handle the beast with it. So, yes, sir, in different cities we have it. We want to expand it more than ever. And make it to where people can truly assess it, just outside of the party, definitely within the party, but also outside of the party, whether, as you say, you FOI, you Moor or Hebrew, or just a black man and woman trying to survive. We all got to know how to defend ourselves. So we're going to need it. We're going to need a big, big ministry defense that includes all of us, because it's all our problem, Brother Keith. Yes, sir. Did I answer your question? You still with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Black.
Yes, sir. All right. Appreciate you, brother. Assalamu alaikum, Black Power.
Well, thank you. Salam, God.
Yeah, that is important that we establish that ministry of defense. But I don't want you all to fantasize. I don't want to, what we do, we call it revolutionary romanticism. I don't want you all to get romantic with the struggle and think that you know, just because we have police patrols that it won't get real. That's the whole point. It's going to get real. And when you're out there, them dangers, there's some real danger out there that you got to know how to handle and be trained how to handle. Brother Keith is a member of the Fruit of Islam, and they go through training. They go through serious training. The New Black Panthers, if you in them defense personnel, which most all of us are, you know, you go through some serious training. So I don't want people listening just to think that you can just go out there willy-nilly and be trying to challenge and and that you, you know, get out there and get into something that you can't get yourself out of or that you get yourself hurt. I don't want you to do that. I want you to be trained on how to deal with these things. I want you to come to the new Black Panther Party or areas that are teaching you how to deal with these beasts or disarm people or what have you and get trained on how to do it. Next caller here, area code is 812-266, 812-266. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about 21st century slaves. How do we recoup and how do we recover? Welcome, Black Power. Hey, 812-266, you're on live, caller.
Hey, how you doing, brothers?
I'm doing very well.
I want to salute all my new Black Panthers. I'm doing good, brother. I want to salute all my new Black Panther parties. This is Conrad Urbanus. What it do, General Sean?
Hey, sir. Hey, Black Power. It's doing what it does, brother, which means that we're struggling and striving, but as we talk, the cream gonna rise, brother.
I can dig that. I can dig that. Hey, man, I wanted to talk about our revolution, man. I wanted to talk about us. Us as new Black Panthers. You know, I sat out on the sidelines for a minute, man, and watched the game. And every time I call in, y'all get used to it. This Conrad Urbanus, every time I call in, man, I'm going to talk about us coming together somehow, man, paying dues every month, every week, whatever it is, man. We need to put our heads together. We need to find some land. We need to buy some land, take the land. We need to do something because we need our own base. We need our own community. We need our own businesses. We need our own schools. We need our own everything. Group economics is what we need. You know what I'm saying? Group of social economics, man. If we can't do that, bro, we're never gonna get nowhere out here in this country. These people ain't gonna give us nothing. Nothing. No matter how much we keep yelling, no matter how much they ain't gonna give, we gotta take it. Either take it or buy it. That's all they know is money or taking it. Because that's all they done. That's all they got us. They've been taking, raping, pilgrimage. They did everything you can think of under the sun, man. Rape, murder, robbery. You know what I mean? That's where they got all these laws here. They done made it.
What it shows us, Brother Bannis, and I really would like to write a book on this one day. But what it shows us is that it shows us that white folks are not that smart, brother. If they have raped, robbed, and pillaged everything, every resource, all the darker peoples of the planet Earth to be in the position that they in today, and even robbed amongst their own, the poor whites, they robbed from everybody, right? And then to be where they at today and have no power, no real power today, the dollar is falling, declining, it's worthless. America is in a raggedy state in position. And, you know, basically by vital signs, she does not have a lot of life left in her, which is why they're trying to do economic and political and social CPR. And so you look at our people, you look at the establishments, the kingdoms, the governments that black people had that existed for generations, centuries down the road, you know, undisturbed and developed. And this is supposed to be a highly technological, I'm talking about today's society, this is supposed to be the highly technological, in their eyes, society. It shows you, brother, that they are not as smart and cunning and even important as we make them to be, which lets you know that we can build for self. And that we will. And I want to strive to say this. I said this a few weeks back on the show because we talk about Maya'at a lot. And for those who may not be into Kemetic knowledge, you may not know what Maya'at is. But Maya'at is the codes of instructions that came down that was brought down and given to the people that the Ten Commandments derives from. The Ten Commandments comes from the codes or laws of Maya'at and the 42, what they call negative confessions. And from Maya'at, Maya'at says things like I have not, bared false witness, against my neighbor, and it talks about things that it has done or that you have done that you haven't done. Whereas, you know, the commandments, for example, you know, say that you shouldn't or you shall. You shouldn't or you shall. And so I want to try to change the language, brother. I want to begin to, you know, start talking about the things that we are doing. You know what I mean? Because we got that seriously bad in the black community where we would say, well, what we need to do is we need to have a school. We need to have some tractors. We need to have some farmland. And I'm trying to push us away from that. Because it's just like if you look at your family, for example, and if your queen says to you, you know, Banners, you know, she said, Brother Banners, you know, I need some bread, I need some, you know, some milk, I need a new pair of shoes. That need is only going to be a need for so long before it turns into, you know, something else, you know, and it begins to cause friction in your household because it's a need. So I have to question how much we really need it as a community, because any meeting you go to, I don't care where you're at in America, any meeting where we come together at, as the first thing we'll say is what we need to do. But if that's what we need to do, then why haven't we done it? So let's start talking about
what we're doing. That's my question, bro. That's my question, brother. I mean, come on, brother. Listen. Let me say this first of all for everybody listening, man. I'm in the Louisville, Kentucky area, man, for recruiting me, for bringing me. I love my people. I love my people with all my heart. You know what I'm saying? So let me say that first. But let me also say this, man. I've been watching. I've been doing so much reading. I've been reading every day. Oh, yeah, Hidden Colors. If y'all ain't seen it, see it. Hidden Colors.
Got to get that.
But, yes, sir. One and two. But I've been watching, bro, and I'm like, from the 50s, from the 60s, Brother Malcolm, Martin Luther King, everybody, man, this is over 50 years. This is over 50 years. We've been talking about what we want. You know what I'm saying? What we want. I'm 34 years old, born in 79, man. You know what I'm saying? I come from California, and I was a Crip. I lived my life, man.
You with me, brother? Mm-hmm. Brother Banners, can you hear me? Oh, his call dropped. We'll get Brother Banners back in there when he called back in, because we want him to finish his point. He's making some good points, and it's a good point of discussion. We got to talk about this, what we need, and how to move past what we need. I'll take another call here. Your area code is a 904-619, 904-619. You're here with Black Power Radio. Sean Saddam Kweli, your chief of staff. Talk to me. We're talking about 21st century slaves. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power. Hotep, out to the family. I'm Lakin, a BB for Holier. My name is Brother Drew. I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida. And, you know, Black Power, brother. I heard about the call on the post on Facebook, and I've been listening in to it for a while. And I like where we're going. It sounds real good. But what I think this whole deal going down with the Sterling Clippers deal, it's just white supremacy being exposed. You know what I mean? It's like it's letting the world know that we ain't crazy. We've been telling people this for years. I've been telling people this for years. And Nellie Fuller wrote a book back in 1969. And what's going on? And what was
your phone's kind of going in and out, brother. If you got your mouth kind of close to the receiver, I want to back up just a little bit. Go right ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Dr. Nick Fuller wrote a book called "The United Independent Compensatory Code Concept" back in 1960. Him and Dr. Francis Quest Welton has been trying to expose white supremacy for the past 45 years. And what happened with this Sterling situation, he dropped the ball. You know what I mean? He let it out. He let the cat out the box. and he exposed everything that we've been talking about. He even talked about the Jews and how the Jews treat black people. He broke it down why he got all these black players on the team. I mean, he really, in the world of white supremacy, he messed up. He messed up real bad. And he's
talking about Sterling?
You
talking about Donald Sterling?
Sterling, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
In the world of white supremacy, he messed up. See, he dropped the ball because he exposed the secret that we've been knowing about, but they don't want to know about and say it. So by him exposing that, he's going to be sacrificed. They're going to fire him. They're going to not fire him. He ain't going to be in the spotlight anymore. He's going to lose the team and all that. But all it is white supremacy being exposed for what it is. We've been talking about it for years and years and years. But now we're getting it directly from his mouth. You know what I mean? So all of these brothers that are being showcased, like, and that's what we call it, racial showcasing, when you get your LeBron and your Puffies and all these big-time players, that's called racial showcasing. That's just to give the illusion to the world that black people think all messed up as they act like they are. If they can pull themselves up by their bootstraps, why can't the rest of the niggas pull themselves up? You know, that's why you got your Oprahs, your Jay-Z's. That's called racial showcasing. But they're about to sacrifice this cracker because they're gonna drop him. They're going to feed him to the wolves because he put himself out there.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that because when you look at what happened to Paula Deen, for example. See, we gotta go back a little further. You can take a look at what happened to Paula Deen. Paula Deen lost all of her endorsements. She lost restaurants. She lost a whole lot of things behind saying that she wanted black people to dress up as slaves and feed her food like they used to do and the N-word and all this type of stuff. But now she has made a recoup. She's getting her endorsements back, supposedly going to get another show and all kind of stuff. And what happens is in white America, normally these white folks are rewarded for this. Let me be honest with you. They will get a slap on the wrist in the public. You know, there has to be some public, some public discipline just for political purposes. But, you know, like I know, brother, behind the scenes, there's so many men who feel like this, white men and women who feel like this, and owners and elite people who feel like this. And so eventually this Donald Sterling, just like this Cleveland Bundy or Cliven Bundy, they'll get rewarded in different little ways. You know, the white man has never been punished, you know, for their acts of slavery against our people. And it continues to this day. So I don't know about him being fired. Even if he is fired, it'll be symbolic. It'll just be symbolic. But I wouldn't look for them to discipline their own in that sense. And that's why I'm saying that the protest that was put on by the Los Angeles Clippers to me was weak. And it has to be more done. But we have to understand that these are athletes that don't know how to stage a disobedience, not even a civil disobedience. They don't know how to do it because they haven't seen the example or they're disconnected. Many of these athletes are disconnected from the new Black Panther Party and revolutionary organizations that could teach them. And so this is something we got to change, brother. You want to say something else?
Yeah, that was my whole point. You hit my point before I can get to it. It's going to be a what they call sacrificing, but it's symbolism. They're going to do that on TV. He's going to lose a little something here and there, but they ain't going to get away from him. That's exactly what the point I was getting to. It's going to be symbolic of them. They're going to do something on TV, just like they did Paula Deen. I'm glad you hit that point because that's exactly. And they'll let you get up. They'll let you mess up. And then they'll go out there and say, oh, you messed up, and slap them on the wrist and make them look bad. But in the real world, like you said, they lift it up. Like, you said that. You really said that. You know what I'm saying? I've been wanting to say that. You know, look at it.
Hey, He said what was on their minds, you know, on many of their minds, and it's really just, it's up to our people to understand it. It's up to the black man and black woman or the new African that's listening to understand that this is how people feel, you know, and that's okay. They can feel like that. I hope they feel like that. I'm so sick of the integrationist circus, the utopia, the fantasy, the LOL laughing pot of America. I want to get black to reality. I want to get black to the fact that we have to struggle for ourselves and struggle for our people and struggle for our babies and our future and do something for self. Let's get out of the utopian fantasy, you know, and so hopefully things like this will at least make a spark. But, you know, I mean, I thought it would really kick off during Katrina, when Katrina, all of them black men and women that was out there in that water, you know, and they knew that they had blew the dams, and you had sheriffs and white militias that was out there together shooting at black people so black people couldn't cross the borders. I mean, y'all know that story. I thought it would really kick off then, and you had, you know, the Kanye's out there at that point strong, on the George Bushes of the world, and you had, you know, people who was out there championing the cause. But I thought it would kick then, but Katrina seemed to have died down. It seems like it takes an incident to happen, and we'll rally for a minute, and then once the rally happens, then it's, you know, back to business as usual. So what I want to get away from is getting back to business as usual. We're going to have to learn how to maintain and sustain these efforts. If you're mad today, you got to be mad tomorrow. Who said that? Was it James Baldwin said to be in a state of rage in America, or to be conscious, to be black and conscious in America is to be in a state of rage. You know? So, if we're going to be mad today, be mad tomorrow. If you was mad about Trayvon yesterday, be mad about Trayvon today. If you was mad about Anthony Hill or whoever, Oscar Grant or whoever yesterday, be mad today. But we just, our passion and fire dies out too fast, Brother Drew. It dies out too fast.
Yeah. They can conclude to the next episode of Scandal.
Well, you know, it won't be televised. Whatever gonna happen, it won't be televised and it won't be shown on Scandal, so we don't gotta worry about that, brother. But we thank you for your call, brother. You keep listening to us and stay tuned with us, and more importantly, we look forward to working with you in our communities.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Salam alaikum.
All right. Wa alaikum salam. Black power. Yeah, I mean, yes, sir. That's the truth. If you mad today, make sure tomorrow after the fizzle wears off from this Donald Sterling thing, because it will wear down. It will go away. It'll dissipate. It won't be in the national news anymore. He won't be making any other statements. He'll go back to lighting up his Cuban cigars and whatever else he's doing. Make sure you mad tomorrow. Make sure you stay on top of the issues, especially for the new Black Panther Party. There is no way that you can be angry today about the issue. I don't care what it is. And then in a few weeks, after it dissipates from the national news or national media, you ain't mad no more. That is reactionary as hell. That's reactionary. We don't want to be reactionary. We want to be revolutionary, proactive. You should be on the issues. We should be bringing these issues to the people before they hit the national news. Okay? So stay on the issue. Stay angry. If you're mad tonight, if you're mad about what happened with Donald Sterling, or you're mad about Clive and Bundy, or whatever you're mad about, stay mad. You got a reason to stay mad. And I want to tell you, that's why there's so much fluoride in your water. If you're drinking public water, or if you're drinking water from the faucet, there is a high percentage of fluoride in the water, and there's other chemicals in the water that are oscillatory. They make you docile. They put a docile effect on your system, on your nervous system. And so I want to tell you to be careful about the water that you're drinking, and be careful about what you're drinking and eating, period. If you have too much soy in your diet, especially for the males, the men. You know, soy for the men gives a feminine effect. It makes a man act feminine and makes him begin to produce feminine chemicals in his body. And so we wonder why so many of these men are coming out sissified. And as Doc used to say, punctified. You wonder why we're doing that and why they're doing that. It may be because of the diet. Maybe because of what we're ingesting or what's being ingested that is making these black men come out punctified and sissified and feminine, very feminine, very effeminate. And so be careful. But that's why there's so much fluoride in the water. It's because it's to keep you from being angry. Look at the what's above your heads with the chemtrails. Same thing with the chemtrails and the weather modification techniques that are used. Whether you believe it or not, the information is there that talks about the behavioral patterns of populations that are heavily chemtrailed by them planes above your heads, where you know them big streaks of white, that big white mist normally that is above your heads from them planes, that is a behavior modification. Sometimes it's behavioral modifications. Other times it's weather manipulation, mercury and all kind of products and metals and all kind of stuff that's in it that ill affects the body, causes cancers and all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's issues that we have to fight. And as the Honorable Kwame Ture used to talk about, that it's an eternal struggle. So don't think that just because you conquer one issue today, you know, let's say we solve black-on-black crime today. Let's say we've organized as a people and we stomp it out. It's been stomped out in other areas. We stomped out in America, too, with the proper kind of organization. Let's say we do it. Let's say we organize against it and solve that. Don't think you won't have other things to solve. And that's my gripe with some of my OG elders, Black Panther elders, is that some of you have given up the struggle and you have, you know, rightfully so, because you've been through so much, but the battle is not over. And if you can't do nothing but guide the young generations to not make the mistakes that you made, you know, that is enough. But you cannot withdraw yourself, and that's any elders, not just Black Panther elders, but that's any elders, community elders, church elders. If you're in the mosque or the civic group or wherever you at, political organization, you cannot. It is not wise for you to withdraw yourselves from the youth and from the young people younger than you. That is not wise. If you are older, and you don't have to be an elder, but if you're just older, an older influence over some youngsters or people younger than you, it is not wise for you to withdraw yourself from the young. It is necessary that you give guidance, that you give help, that you give teachings that will root them in the struggle. I'll take another call here. Your area code is 205-757. 205-757. You're on live, and this is Black Power Radio. Come in with your question or comment. We're talking about 21st century slaves. How can we avert it? How can we recoup? How can we return to ourselves? Black Power. 21st century slaves. How can we avert it? How can we recoup? How can we return to ourselves? Black Power. All right. Go right ahead. All right. Got a little feedback here. Can you hear me? Call it 205-757. Your microphone is open. All right, they made it. All right, we'll keep it moving. Thank you so much. Next caller here, area code is 562-239. 562-239. You're on live with Black Power Radio and the discussion of 21st century slaves. How can we recoup and how can we return to ourselves? Welcome in Black Power.
Black Power, and assalamu alaikum, brother, National Chief of Staff, National Spokesman, and National Chief of Staff. brother Ali, West Coast representative here on the West Coast. How are you, sir?
Black power, brother Ali, West Coast regional representative. I'm the national chief of staff. The honors of being national spokesman have definitely been passed on promptly to Sister Nadia Sada Shakur. And so we want to keep that in perspective. But I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
Brother, I'm sorry, brother. I'm on 2 hours sleep. We did security for Dr. Umar Johnson yesterday, brother. Secured brother. Got him home. We got him to his place of rest and in his car. Brother Mike did a great security detail yesterday, brother. He did a good job. Brother, I'm sorry. Brother National Chief of Staff, I apologize. Brother, on your 21st century slaves, Brother Sean, I'm going to say, brother, what has changed? Nothing. And you and I have talked about this in private, brother. Under white supremacy, it's never going to change. You know, and as the messenger said, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said years ago, brother, he said, black unity is like an atomic weapon. You know, it's a bomb. It's destruction of white supremacy. We're going to have to unify. We're going to, multiculturalism got to go. All that got to go. These brothers run around as faggots, brother, and fools, these white girls got to go. We got to get with our sisters, raise our children, unify our people. And that will destroy 21st century slavery. It's simple in its own way. And I'm sorry, bro. You know how amped I am all the time. You know what I mean? This kind of Sterling, man. Yeah, this fucking kike bastard, excuse my language, brother. This kike Sterling, brother, come on, brother. He that ain't nothing new. That was a private conversation that got eased into the public. That's all it was.
Right.
That's how they talk in private. So it didn't surprise me. You know what I'm saying? It didn't surprise me, but it was just how it was done. If you listen to that young lady, listen to the tape real well, she said, so what are you saying? Are you saying, you know, it was like he was set up, you know?
Oh, he was.
But,
he was set up.
Yeah, he was. But I don't care. Good for him. Good. I'm glad it came out. But, you know, it is what it is, and that's the way they talk. It's just like we have our private conversations, you know. And but, yeah, until we unify and truly unify, when we cut this man off at the knees, man, and keep our money and keep our culture and keep ours and think on an our level, brother, you're going to always have 21st century slavery. You're going to have slavery. You're going to keep it, you know. And that's what I feel, my personal opinion, on how to destroy this slave mindset and this slave system that's going on and has been going on since 1619. Black power, God.
All right, black power. And I definitely agree with you. Of course, I don't have no argument there, brother, that it all reverts. And the root of it is white supremacy in America, period. That's what it is. And I want to be clear to you all and to you, to the radio listener audience. When I say white supremacy, I'm not talking about alone some little pita bread white boys with some sheets over their faces, you know, talking about white power. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, that is a marginalized, small example of just some white supremacy advocates. That is not white power in action. I'm talking about the people who make your educational curriculum. I'm talking about the people who put the laws and the penal codes on the books, or what used to be called the black codes. I'm talking about the people who, you know, are responsible for the prison industrial complex and responsible for this network of privatization and corporations that benefited from the establishment of slavery and enslavement that continues to this very day. We're talking about a global network with the white supremacist ideology that is similar to what you experienced or saw in Africa or South Africa. Azania with the system of apartheid. If you can remember the system of apartheid, where it was designed to keep the white people on of everything black or melanated, even to the point of bloodshed, and that was a system of organization. It was an organized system. That's the same thing with white supremacy and white power. It's bigger than just some white boys saying white power, some little white girls saying white power, you know, whatever. It's bigger than that. We're talking about people who have control and say-so over your lives and your children's lives and your children's life. Okay, that's what we're after, because when you remove that, then you automatically break the power of the little pita bread, Peckerwood white boy who's sitting there saying white power, and some backwoods somewhere, some tobacco chewing, snuff dipping white boy somewhere saying that. Or even if they up on the judge, you know, judge bench or a professional manner, that breaks that. Okay, so we're not talking about that. Not alone. Not even in a small sense. We're talking about a large sense. I just want to be clear. But thank you so much, Brother Ali, for what you said and your comments. And, you know, revolution is the solution. We got to have complete constructive change. But like Dr. Khalid Muhammad say, you know, Negroes are scared of revolution. Now, black people are going to embrace it and organize to, you know, overthrow our conditions. You know, we ain't worried about somebody else's government. We're talking about our conditions. We're talking about building for self. But let me go to another call here. This will be the last call of the night. Area code 205-253-205. 253, you're on live with Black Power Radio, and we're into 21st century slaves. How do we avert it? How do we recoup? How do we destroy the slavery of today? Talk to us. Welcome in Black Power.
Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Right ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was just wondering, you know what I'm saying, like here in the Birmingham area, you know what I'm saying, if somebody wanted to join the Black Panther Party, like, how would you go about it? Like, go to the website, or is the number that you call? Like, what would these young brothers out here do, you know what I'm saying, if they want to get down with the Panther Party right now?
Well, let me ask you, are you that man that wants to get down with the Panther Party?
Man, there's no doubt. I mean, that's my heart right there. So, speaking for myself and others right now.
Well, we need you. Birmingham needs you. We've been trying to get a good established move in Birmingham, I'm going to say, about at least for 2 years straight. And we need some good workers and helpers there in Birmingham that are committed and sincere. Now, we're training on how to be a Panther, the ways of a Panther, and help you with the process. What I would say is, I think that if with your permission, we'll give our Minister of Information, who runs these boards, permission to take your number, if that's okay, and then we'll get in touch with you. Normally, the number to call for those who are listening is 347-903-0886. That's our headquarters number. But if it's okay, brother, what's your name, brother?
Ren, R-E-N.
Brother Wren, okay. And so, Brother Wren, with your permission, the National Minister of Information will take your number. And sometime this week, very shortly, we'll get in touch with you and have the regional representative there get in touch with you. And they will give you the information that you need to, you know, get involved. And it's a simple process. You don't have no secret passcodes, no secret handshakes or anything like that. But it does take heart and take some dedication and some people, you know, some sincerity that you really want to see a change for our people, and that you committed to putting in the work necessary to getting the jobs done.
Yeah, I'll be waiting on the call. I'm already ready.
All right. My brother said he's already ready. So that's the type of stuff I like. So Birmingham is going to need you, and we're going to help you. It's not going to be a mission impossible. We're not going to send you out there unarmed or unequipped or unready, but you already say you're ready, so we're just going to give you the tools to go to work.
Straight
with,
already on that.
All right. Well, that's what I'm talking about. So the National Information has your, they have the number that you're calling on is the number to reach you at. She has your information, if that's okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. And so Brother Wren will be in touch with you within the next day or so, next couple of days. And, you know, we'll get your information to be able to get you the registration form to register with the party, and you can get started there in Birmingham. We go to work right away.
Black Power.
All right. Black Power. And brothers and sisters, it is that simple. You can get you a registration form and get involved with the work of the new Black Panther Party, and we need more brothers and sisters to get involved with the mission, with all of the issues that we talked about tonight, and we made mention of Ministry of Defense that could cover the breadth and scope of America to defend our people in the streets. We also need people to help in the educational processes and the informational processes, the inspirational processes, the political processes, the reparations process, and whatever other process. We got a lot of areas to cover if you all read that 10-point program. And we cannot do it all ourselves and shouldn't have to. It's a community issue, and we want to connect the community to this mission. We don't want to be isolated from our people. We want you to know that whether you are the man and woman up off of the streets, if you're working a 9-to-5, if you own your own business, or if you are a billionaire, like in the case of Dr. Michael V. Roberts, you have a place here in the new Black Panther Party and a way to work out the destiny of our people. We have to go to work. It's not going to be easy, and I'm not here to sell you short. It's not something that's going to be handed to us. We got to get it. And as my brother said earlier, we got to take it in some cases. Power is taken, and so we got to have power. And we have to have the power, and we have to have a real ideal and a real program, which we do have, a 10-point program, 9 local objectives, and we got the vision. So y'all can call us, 347-903-0886. The website to visit is newblackpanther.com. We'll be updating that to keep you well informed on what's happening. If you're on Facebook, you can catch most of us, many of us in the committee on Facebook. Follow my page, Sean Saddam Kweli, on there, and many others who are with us. You can follow us on Facebook, catch us on Twitter at New Black Panther 1. That's NEWBLACKPANTHR and the number 1 on Twitter. That's at Twitter. That's our handle, New Black Panther 1, for our official tweets. And you can be a part of our mailing list if you just send your email and information to New Black Panther Headquarters at gmail.com. You all keep Brother Aaron Magruder in your prayers, and you keep, you know, the families of our loved ones who have lost loved ones, you know, to senseless violence in the streets. You keep them in your prayers, and, you know, you keep our youth, you know, in your prayers. If you don't pray, you know, keep your positive salutations and positive vibrations and meditations. The family of Sister Lenore Draper, you know, keep her in your prayers and your positive salutations and vibrations. And the families of Brother Felipe Holland, you know, keep him in your positive prayers and salutations. And just your people in general, your immediate family, those who are going through the day-to-day trials and tribulations of being Black in America, and keep them all in your prayers and positive salutations. But after you pray and after you give your positive salutations, get up and go to work for your people and answer your prayer. We want to close saying it's Black power to Black people. And we say like our comrades in the 60s say, it's power to the people. And remember, if Black people are not free, there is nobody on the face of the planet Earth that can truly be free. We want to say to our people that we love you, that we're fighting for you, that we're on the battlefield for you on a daily and consistent basis. We need all the support that we can get from you, so help us out however you can. We love you. The struggle is ours, and our time is now. Black power.
Busting your fist against the stone wall. You're not using your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Nobody even know how hard it is being a woman, a black woman at that, in this white man's world. Sometimes we overlook the fact that we be riding hard in our 50s. We don't be knowing the pain we can cause. This white man's world, this white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all, man. I'm just saying this white man's world. Of all those times that I messed up.
got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews, bitch. They say don't let this cool world get you.